How's it going, y'all? This is Scott McKay, and you're about to experience episode number 37 of the World Famous Chick Whisperer podcast. Today, my co-host is none other than my good friend, Brad Jackson of Puma Skills, and we're going to talk about a topic that kind of ended up being a hybrid topic. We started out talking about how to meet and attract single moms, MILFs, as it were, but then we ended up talking a little bit about cougars also. So this became a no-holds-barred discussion that you're not going to want to miss. We kind of didn't care what we talked about, so when that happens, typically hilarity and hijinks ensue. But before we get to that, several of you guys who are brand new to the Chick Whisperer podcast have been writing me, asking me whether you should get Virtuosity, The Master Plan, The Leading Man, or Online Dating Domination first. And honestly and truthfully, it all depends. All of those programs have completely different purposes and will help you in different areas massively. So what I've done to help ease that decision-making process for you is I've bundled all four programs into one special package for you at an incredible price. And I've set that up for you at www.thechickwhisperer.com/all, A-L-L, as in everything. So hope that makes life a little bit easier for you guys. And definitely go to www.thechickwhisperer.com/all and get you some. And now, let's get on with that great program that we have in store for you today. I think you guys are really going to get a kick out of this one. Enjoy.
You're listening to the World Famous Chick Whisperer Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Okay, this is it. Episode number 37 of the World Famous Chick Whisperer Podcast. Today we've got a topic that you guys have been writing in about. I've been waiting to get the right guy to talk about it. And that topic is going to be, as the PUAs would put it, how to game MILFs. Otherwise, how to go out with single moms, how to maybe even get some older women into your life who may happen to be moms or just divorced, something like that. And who better to talk about cougars, among other things, than the Puma himself? I've got none other than my good friend Brad Jackson on, all the way from Dallas, Texas, home of America's team. And Brad, man, welcome.
Thanks, Scott. How you doing? That's great. The Puma takes on the cougars.
Yeah, well, don't lie. You were the one who coined that before we got on the phone.
I couldn't resist it.
Yeah, I can't really take credit for that one. You had that one ready to go.
Now, you know, when I first started out in this business, and I started, I'm sure you'll tell your guys if they haven't heard of me where I come from, but my site, Puma Skills, which has nothing to do with hunting cougars, but yeah, I know. Well, my initial tagline was, whether she's a pussycat or a cougar, she's no match for a puma. I cracked myself up with that. I don't know if anybody else liked it, but it was funny.
Well, with all that under the bridge and all the bad jokes aside, P-U-M-A, Pickup Magic Artist. You're best known for teaching guys how to use magic to intrigue women, kind of as sort of your little quiver of tricks that you can use just to pull out of nowhere and make women interested. It's not like you're using some cheesy magic tricks as an excuse for having real skills with women. That's right.
Exactly. Well, and it's kind of, as a disclaimer, it's, you know, how to pick up girls with magic without looking like a douchebag trying to pick up chicks with magic. So walking that delicate line to have a lot of fun, make her intrigued and curious, and not look like the cheesy dude, just like you said. So that's where, yeah, the pickup magic, the Puma, comes from. But yes, I have had my share of success with the almighty cougar.
Well, you know what? It's funny because I don't think I'd even have you on this show if you were all about just cheesy magic tricks and cheesy pickup. But obviously you and I have become pretty good friends. You're actually the guy who is the mastermind behind the mastermind of guys who are in this business trying to make it a better place, kind of bringing together a brain trust of guys who want to do business ethically and who care about men and care about men getting better with women and actually care about the women in their lives. And I've been very pleased. Yeah, right. Go figure. I've been very pleased to be a member of that. We've all met together once. And actually, some of the guys who are on the Power Sessions program have seen the videos that have come from that. Well, you're listening to right now my co-host, who is the guy behind all that. And that's pretty cool. So, Brad, actually, we've been meaning to get you on this show for quite a while. I love the topic. I think we should dig right in
But first, as almost always, we've got a killer voicemail from one Lawrence in Santa Monica. And I'll tell you what, he made this short and sweet. Let's go.
Hi, Scott. This is Lawrence from Santa Monica. Here's what I'm wondering. How do you communicate to a woman in such a way that she's willing to connect sexually to you, but not expecting to mate for life? Thank you.
I'll tell you what, man, for a guy from Santa Monica, that's one heck of an accent. He almost sounds like Lawrence of Arabia instead of Lawrence from Santa Monica. What do you think?
I love it. Hello, this is Lawrence.
Well, Lawrence from Santa Monica, you got a heck of a question there. I think it demands a heavy answer because it's a heavy question. How do you communicate with a woman so that you make it perfectly clear that you're interested in a sexual relationship with her without, you know, having her want to rope you down and marry you immediately? What would you say to such a guy?
You know, it really depends on the level that he wants to take it to, because there's several levels. There's the I want to get in a girl's pants for one night and one night only without her ever thinking that I want a relationship with her, a one-nighter. There's the, well, okay, I just want to kind of do a booty call. And then there is the guys who are what they call polyamorous, who I just want to date a lot of different girls at a lot of different times. I don't mind if they know about it. They give it up. We're having sex, and they don't expect, you know, me to put a ring on their finger. So depending on what exactly Lawrence wants is probably the answer, you know, I would give him. But I would just say that there's certain things, in my opinion, that a woman needs to feel in order to have sex with you without needing that long-term life partner relationship.
Go for it. Tell us what they are.
Well, you know, one of the best policies as far as getting that kind of a, quote, hookup that I've ever followed is the policy of honesty. And it is amazing because it's the hardest thing for a guy to do is just be completely honest with what he wants from a woman. And yet they respond to that like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, magic tricks aside, pickup lines aside, routines, all the inner work that you can do, trying to be as smooth as possible. A lot of times if you're just blatantly honest, it will not only work, but it will work so well you'll kick yourself for playing all these games in the past. Give you a couple examples. I remember I was 25 years old, actually I guess 24, 25, before I kind of came out of my shell with the ability to escalate sexually with a woman, as far as not during sex, but like going from hanging out, talking, being friendly and flirting to getting over that hump to actually, you know, get to the hump, I guess you could say. Sorry, that was a bad joke.
Well, in a manner of speaking, right?
Exactly. It's the story where it was my epiphany. Everybody's got that epiphany where they slap themselves in the head and go, that actually worked and I didn't have to do anything tricky or unique. I was 25 years old. I'd always just dated girls long term. I'd probably had four serious girlfriends and slept with four girls by, you know, when I was age 25. And the hardest thing for me in the world to do would be talking to a girl I'm interested in, whether I'm just sexually attracted or I think she's like be a great girlfriend. It was taking it from the initial meeting to a kind of a sexual place. I thought if she knows, if I tell her that what I want, she'll see right through me and think I'm just one of those horny guys and push me off because, you know, I held women on this kind of pedestal that was too high. It was unrealistic. And I'd had a few beers, so I was loosened up. I wasn't drunk, but I walked into a bar with a friend of mine. And this friend of mine was the exact polar opposite of me where I was. Like, he was a very sexually charged, I guess you could say, guy. He would immediately just start being funny, but sexual with women. And it was so weird for me, but we became good friends, walked into this bar, I was on the dance floor, started dancing with some girl and for 5 minutes. Hadn't kissed her yet, but you could tell we were getting along. And he comes up behind me, taps me on the shoulder, whispers in my ear, ask her to go home with you. And that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm like, dude, I just met this girl. What are you talking about? And he kicked me like in my calf. I look back at him and he just nodded his head. And I think I was drunk enough. I just said, hey, you want to go home with me? Or you want to get out? You want to go back to my place? And she just looked at me and nodded like, yep. And
what, there wasn't this massive whistle blowing, sirens going off, and then the rape police came and dragged you off by your scruff of your neck? Nothing like that?
Nope. It was literally, you want to go home with me? She goes, yeah. And I was like, that didn't just happen. And so I was like, it's still, I wasn't believing it, but I grabbed her by the hand and I was like, all right, let's go. So, and this was by far the most, I guess, aggressive I've ever been. I just grabbed her by the hand. I said, all right, let's get out of here. We went out, jumped in a cab, went to my house a few miles away, and it was a wild and crazy night. And that was a while back. You know, I think that was about 10 or 11 years ago. I'm 36 right now, and that happened when I was about 25. And I'll never forget it, because all of a sudden I realized shit happens when you ask for it. Or sometimes it does. Now, she could have easily said no. I don't even know if I knew her name at that moment. But it was that time where I realized, okay, if I'm dead honest. Now, here's another story that is slightly different. I met a girl at a Halloween party maybe about 5 years ago, and things were going really well. We were flirting. We were talking. We were, for 3 or 4 hours. And we were at her friend's house, and we ended up spending the night there and crashing out. And we were making out, and she was about to move away in a couple months, about 3 months, and she said something about, I really like you. Like, I'm afraid to get hooked up with you, because I'm like, what if I fall in love with you and it's like too hard? I go, and I looked at her, I go, don't worry, you won't fall in love with me. She goes, why? I go, because I'm not in this to fall in love. Look, trust me, you don't want to date me. I'm not boyfriend material. Trust me on this. And she says, oh, I don't believe that. And I was like, well, you can choose not to believe it, but I'm not boyfriend material. You won't fall for me. I said, trust me. She goes, are you an asshole? I go, no, I'm not an asshole. I'm really nice to your face. And behind your back, I won't talk bad about you, but I'm not going to be steady. I'm not going to do anything like that. And I was telling her like I was telling one of my buddies. It was so matter of fact, because I just didn't care. Although she was hot, like hot, but I didn't care. And we dated for like 3 months, had the wildest, craziest sexual relationship you could ever imagine. And I mean that. It was nuts. And she left and it was cool. But, you know, and there was a situation of me just being completely over the top up front. Those situations are a little bit different. One was when I was a complete neophyte at understanding women. And then one was once I understood that, yeah, I will tell you exactly how it is and how I'll be. And not only do they not, you don't get any blowback, but
it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. It still blows me away when I sit here and think about that, like, man, you can be forward and you're not risking anything, because if you're not being forward, a lot of other guys have been forward with women in their lives, and they've been so forward and obnoxious that women have way tougher skin than you could ever imagine. So the stuff that you can say, as long as it's not completely obnoxious, and even then, sometimes it's okay, you're going to be all right, but let them know what you want. No, they expect it anyway.
I think you're absolutely correct. I think the first thing that's at play here is still, and you know, Lawrence, mad love at you, but it sounds to me like you're still ashamed of being a sexual creature. And mm-hmm. It seems to me like we as guys are still stereotyping women as wanting to lock down every guy they meet as a boyfriend and trying to rope him into marrying them. And you know what that's like? To me, that's like a woman thinking every guy is just going to try to get her into bed and have sex with her once and throw her away.
Right.
Not all of us as guys are like that. Yeah, I think most women would like to have a relationship. And yes, I think most men would like to get women into bed. But I don't think all of us are completely unethical, lying cheaters about it.
That brings me to a great point, and because I've had many girls ask me this in the past, because I was never really dishonest with women, and I was never, I never cheated on a girl as far as telling her that, letting her think that we were exclusive, and then I was out there with other girls. Like if I was with other girls, it was very clear that we weren't exclusive, but I would get questions sometimes on the first date, sometimes after a little while, but saying, you're such a player, or why are you a player? And one of the first things I'll say is don't, first of all, ever deny it. I would say this, look, it depends on your definition of a player. In my definition, a player is a guy who tells a woman exactly what she wants to hear, whether it's true or not, just to get in her pants. I think I'm not a player. I'm just popular. I said, I'm not going to tell you anything you want to hear unless it's the truth. And I'm not trying to get in your pants. I would joke around and sometimes say, I will get in your pants, but I'm not trying to. And I would literally say, a player is a guy who's going to basically scam his way into your panties. I'm not going to scam you. I'm going to tell you exactly how it is, and you're going to decide if you want to let me into your panties. And then they usually let you into their panties.
Amazing. You know, just this morning, I was being interviewed for a pretty large online dating site, and they were asking me a bunch of questions. And one of the questions was, tell us why it doesn't pay to be a player. And I said, well, that's pretty interesting, because I define a player as someone who manipulates others purely for his personal gain without any regard for how they're going to be emotionally or even physically.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the
line.
He's
tricking people.
Yeah, I love this line. I wish I would have used it, but I encourage anybody else to do that. Say, look, a player is a guy who manipulates a woman for his own personal gain. Say, I'm going to manipulate you for your own game. you're going to get the benefit of this, but I'm not going to lie to you. It's not for my game. I don't know. I love that, though. Cause I love those little plays on words and just saying, yes, I want sex with you. No, I'm not going to tell you anything. I don't feel like I need to trick you into it.
No doubt you walk a slippery slope, Jackson. I don't think anybody's going to say anything otherwise about you. But, you know, you're bringing up all these things that basically are orbiting this central point of, look, just be honest with these women. Nothing really peeves a woman more than a guy who's beating around the bush, trying to sugarcoat his intentions, neutering himself when she knows there's a man under there. Because, first of all, she's not getting attracted to his neuterness. Second of all, she's disgusted by the fact that this guy's feeling like he has to beat around the bush instead of just telling her what he wants.
Right.
Women
and it's
are
easy.
Just as sexual as we are.
Right. And it's much easier to start off with kind of a sexual attitude and then kind of back off of it. You can always tell a girl, you are, you know, smoking hot. I can, you know, we are going to have the wildest time together. Sex is going to be crazy. Maybe we shouldn't even get together. Sex is going to be too nuts. And if she thinks, chances are, you know, if you have some rapport, that's not going to scare her off because she's heard a lot worse. And if she's the least bit sexually attracted to you, hey, that's going to be fine. It's because it's way easier to just get nice from then on out because you pushed it out in the open. Like, yes, there is a sexual expectation of this relationship.
Yeah, I think you bring up another great point there, which is her feeling safe, her feeling like it's out in the open, and you've also achieved this state of her being sexually attracted to you. See, here's the way I look at it. Why are women giving you that immediate resistance? Why are they coming off as someone who doesn't like sex, as someone who's pushing men away? What is it about a woman's whole mindset towards men that makes us automatically assume that we have no business being sexual around them? Well, just like you said, it's these guys who keep coming up to them, presenting themselves to them in this pushy, overbearing sexual manner. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to get the sale, you're not going to sell anything because it's all about you. If you actually enjoy women, like I say, coming from a position of abundance, you're not outcome dependent on having this one particular woman be attracted to you, go to bed with you, whatever your intention is. I mean, it can be even just to get her to be attracted to you. If you're not pushing, but you assume that you are dealing in a product that she's automatically going to want because you're a naturally attractive, masculine man, and you just trust that masculinity to work at igniting her femininity, then the only job that's left is to answer her nagging question, am I safe around this guy? Is this guy going to cause me any physical danger? Sweep that all away. If you can cause her to feel comfortable in your presence, then you're going to find out very quickly that anything she was fronting about in terms of her sexuality and wanting to hide that, wanting to keep that in reserve, even sometimes after women have told you, look, don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, they're going to go, hey, you know what? I really just can't help myself. And they're going to actually sometimes initiate the sexuality. And you're going to be like, well, wait a minute. What about all this talk? Will you just shut up and stop making me wait? Women will say stuff like that.
Yeah, they want it just as, and the older they get, which I guess segues into the general topic of MILFs, cougars, and you
Indeed
know slightly older women. Yeah, that's it gets even more important. When you're trying to date like a 20-year-old, 25-year-old, something like that, you know, they still – you kind of sometimes need to beat around the bush just a little bit because they've got their own little slut shield up, meaning that there's all these society's pressures. I can't be a slut. I can't just have whatever I want. People will view me this. People will view me like that. When you get a little bit older, women are just like, you know, give it to me straight. Tell me what you want. I know you want sex. I've been hit on by, you know, more guys. I've seen it all. You know, don't try to act like you don't want it.
Yeah, sometimes when a woman actually is that experienced, like you're talking, I'm sure, about a woman who's like the age you are now, 36, 37 years old. She's divorced. She's already had the princess fantasy made and broken. And, you know, she deals with kids all day after she comes home from work. Now she's got you alone in a room. Stop beating around the bush.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it happens. I mean, that's exactly how it goes, really.
Right.
So, I mean, to get back to what you were talking about, Lawrence, I think you can pretty much just lay it on the line. No pun intended. I mean, if your goal is to be sexual with a woman, I mean, now let's put it this way. Some women are going to tell you straight up that it's against their moral code or whatever to get sexual with you till marriage or whatever. You can't violate that. You can't push someone beyond what they're willing to do. But I think when you're this honest guy around women and you portray yourself as a guy who's sexually interested and you're making them feel comfortable as opposed to pushing them, you're going to see women allow their sexuality to rise to the surface where they've developed this habit of hiding it and repressing it way down when they're in the presence of guys who aren't worthy of showing that sexuality to. And simply by communicating to this woman that that's what you're looking for from this relationship, at least for now. I mean, one of the options I think we didn't cover in the front end of this was that you may want to tell a woman that because you want to take your time getting to a relationship with her. I mean, there's no sense in closing any options with a woman. Just be honest with her. If you find that you can tell a woman that honestly and really acquit yourself in terms of why that is, you're going to find that women will respond to that leadership more often than you think. And of course, you've got to have thick enough skin, Brad, that you recognize that if she doesn't like that, that's not rejecting you. That's just you and her having a conversation about what she feels is appropriate, what you feel is appropriate, and the timing thereof. It isn't rejection. It's a conversation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, no doubt. So I guess before we make that nice segue into talking about how MILFs and cougars can really fit this description of a woman who would potentially respond really well to such a conversation, one major piece is still on the table, and that's taking care of Lawrence from Santa Monica and getting him an incredible prize. And I know you've got something incredibly cool to hand over to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is
my
it?
Free access to the Puma Skills Mastery Course. And that's, Lawrence, where I'll teach you how to do some really crazy cool social magic tricks, bar tricks, pub tricks, you name them. Things that are very spontaneous. You can do anywhere. This is not card tricks. This is not cheesy. This is things that will make you not only kind of the life of the party, but have your friends and women kind of surround you, beg for your secrets and say, how the hell did you do that? And you will have this spark about you that people will find irresistible. And when you create curiosity in somebody, you know, the ability to take that to the next level is even higher. So whether or not you've ever done a magic trick in your life or ever wanted to, I'm going to show you for free some of my stuff that works really well. And I think you're going to love it.
I think that's an incredibly powerful gift you just gave out. I mean, that's your flagship program. And wow, good going there, Lawrence. That was a lot of gain for about 10 seconds worth of work in that voicemail. So
He seduced me with his accent.
Very, very good.
Hello.
And guys, the rest of you guys out there who want to find out more about this, I've set up a special URL. It's www.thechickwhisperer.com/Jackson, as in Reggie Jackson and as in Michael Jackson and especially as in Brad Jackson. Maybe not as in Michael Jackson either, but definitely as in Brad Jackson. So good stuff. So with that, let's move into even more talk about how to go ahead and attract older women, single moms. You know, this is kind of morphing into two separate conversations because I think even though those are often the same women, they can be different women. I mean, you've got women who are moms at age 20, and you've got lots of women who are 38, 40, 42 who've never had a kid in their life.
You got cougars with cubs and cougars without cubs.
Right, mama bears and non-mama bears.
Yeah.
And what you've got going on here, though, is a situation where a woman's halo is kind of in need of a shine.
Right.
You've got a situation where, let's face it, most women are raised with kind of a Disney princess view on life. I'm going to save myself, perhaps sexually, for this Prince Charming guy who's going to come sweep me off my feet, and I'm going to live happily thereafter. And a lot of times when women are in high school or even college, they're still kind of keeping this alive. Meanwhile, there's other women who meet a string of bad guys, and they're already jaded against men by the time they're even 17, 18 years old, which is really sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the former category is probably the more likely category.
Right.
Now, assuming a woman's well-adjusted, let's face it, very few of us tend to go through life without making any mistakes whatsoever. Okay? Matter of fact, none of us get to go through life without making any mistakes whatsoever.
I'm looking forward to my first one. It'll be amazing.
Beautiful. Right, it's like the Dos Equis commercial.
The most interesting man in the world.
Yeah, he once had an awkward experience.
Just to see what it felt like.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, all that aside, beautiful, well-adjusted women end up being single moms sometimes. And Emily and I both are living examples of the second type that I'm about to talk about. You can get into a marriage expecting for it to last forever, and because of things beyond your control, you end up divorced. Both Emily and I, famously at this point, are divorced from people who were diagnosed with clinical schizophrenia and, frankly, are on the same medication. We met each other.
I didn't know that about her.
Oh, yeah, both of us. Yeah, wow. Both of us have clinically schizophrenic exes. So when we sat down in front of each other at IHOP that morning and figured this out, we both looked at each other and went, wow, you're okay. Yeah, so are you. I mean, you're probably a decent human being. Bad stuff, unfortunate stuff, unexpected stuff tends to happen to decent human beings. And in fact, if you ask a single mom about her child, she's probably going to be very glad she has the child in her life, even though it makes it harder for her to date. So I think in terms of talking about single women, I think the first thing it's important for guys to know is, are we going to be the kind of guy who says, look, you should never date a single mama, or are you okay with dating a single mom? You've got to know this up front, Brad, because you've got to deserve what you want. Me being a single dad myself, I actually prefer dating single moms.
Mm-hmm. So, well, yeah, a lot more in common. She can see on your wavelength.
Right.
A lot exactly. easier. I got to be honest. Like, I don't have any kids. I've never been married. I think I told you I'm 36 years old. But really does go back to what you're comfortable with and what you want, because I've dated many single moms, but I always had that wall up, which was I don't want to get into anything serious with a single mom unless it was so beyond perfect, like blew me away, the situation was great, because I knew me and I knew it would be hard for me to do that, you know, long-term relationship and connect with somebody who was, who already had that responsibility. So, but I knew that about myself. So I knew that going in, I'm going to either keep this at arm's distance and do like Lawrence, you know, wanted to do, or that, okay, if I meet a girl who's just incredible and she's got a great kid, you know, but I knew that was going to be an exception. So you have to know what you want.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a matter of you being honest with yourself so you can be honest with the woman. If you don't know what you want, then you can't be honest with the woman. And you know, man, how often does that happen? We don't even know where we stand with ourselves. And then we get upset when the woman is upset with us for being flaky.
That's so true.
You know, we don't even know if we want kids for ourselves, let alone help raise her kids or have them in the house with us or whatever that means, depending on whether the dad's still in the picture or not. So we just roll with the punches because she's hot. Again, we're clouded by beauty vision, and we work out all the politics later. And that's not fair to ourselves, and it's certainly not fair to women. I want to go ahead and highlight something you said.
Mm-hmm.
You said, look, I'm not necessarily up for being in a long-term relationship with a single mom, presumably because – you don't necessarily want to have to go through a relationship where some other guy's kids are in the picture. You want to go ahead and start from scratch.
Yeah, I just knew that for a serious relationship for me, and for me to give a girl what she needs to feel like she's in a comfortable relationship, that I don't want to deal with somebody else's chitlins at the moment.
Well,
but I knew that about me. I was like, I was, and at the time, especially when I was feeling like this, I knew I was, I guess you could say, immature in that way, but I owned it. I was like, hey, I know what I want. I know what I don't want. I know that for a girl to get me in a big relationship because she's got other children is way too complicated. She'd have to be perfect.
Well, I don't think you owe anybody an apology for that.
Right.
You know, I've had women tell me when I was a single dad and had custody of my daughter full time, I can't deal with that. I don't have any children. I want to start fresh. I want to start building a family from scratch. I don't want a guy coming in with what essentially they figured was baggage. Now, mm-hmm. my little daughter is wonderful and beautiful, and they may even admit it. But it's a different thing to consider acknowledging whether you like someone's kid or not versus you being okay with having that child in your life when that's somebody else's child. And see, women have said that to me, but I think we as guys feel guilty because somehow we're not being understanding, or we're being shallow, or we're being selfish. But this is about a long-term relationship with someone you're going to have to live with. And, you know, that's a package deal. When you actually marry someone or get into a long-term relationship, however you want to define it, and those kids are in the picture, you are marrying those kids also. In many ways, you're marrying her whole family, her mom and dad. You know, if they're weirdos, you've got weirdos in your life. You know, we don't ever understand or even think about any of this. And I think that's the first thing to consider based on this topic today is, what do you want? I mean, I think we've all seen Jerry Maguire and the whole thing about not shoplifting the pootie from the single mom. It's a movie. Some of these women who are single moms want their pootie shoplifted.
Oh, yeah.
And they will stop at nothing to get it. I mean, you've got to find people who agree with your mindset. I'm not going to marry you. I am not long-term relationship material for you, just like you were so eloquently honest with that woman in your past. She goes, okay, now we got that out of the way. Let's get on with it. And you're going to find that a lot of these women, especially if they're recently divorced, they've got a lot of political overhead based on the divorce, based on the kids in their life. If they're not necessarily interested in introducing some guy to their kids just now, but they need a little bit of a release, they're going to be happy to date you without automatically trying to rope you into being the next guy who's permanently in her life. A lot of these women are on that mindset. Matter of fact, you may fall in love with one of these single moms and she tells you to hold off. You may fall in love with one of these cougars who, you know, ensnares you in her feminine wiles, and she's a player.
Yep. It's all about setting expectations up front. But that being said, a lot of them just, they want somebody to take them home and make them feel like a sexual animal again. That sometimes they're now, they've been forced to be independent. They said, look, I've been with my ex-husband. I've got a child. I'm raising on my own. Hey, I'm an independent lady. I don't need the games. I just want a great guy to hang out and rip my clothes off and bang me when I want and then leave me alone so I can get on back on with my life. I found that to be the case so many times. Just realizing that that is out there. Like some of the girls, they just want, you know, they start to get the sex drive of an 18-year-old guy.
And the attitude to go with it.
And the attitude
to go
with it.
Some of these women are pickup artists. Oh, they're get-laid-quick artists. And, I mean, with that, you've got to kind of look at something else. There's so many layers to peel off of this onion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've got women out there who are mad at themselves. They feel like every ounce of idealism they've ever had has been reduced to shreds because of this divorce, because their dreams having not been met by becoming a single mom or whatever. And they throw safety and concern and anything that is long-term thinking out the window. They're thinking in the moment. They're thinking, if it feels good, do it. And you better wrap that rascal and put that condom on when she tells you, oh, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm on birth control.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that I've heard as a knock on single moms is, A, they're going to try to rope you into a relationship because they want you to raise their kid. I've never really met women with that mindset. I know that they're out there.
Yeah, I'm sure they're out there, but in general.
That would be an insult if you assumed that of a single mom. Some of them have kids whose dads are still in their own life. Second of all, they think they're doing pretty well raising their own kids.
Yep.
They don't need your help. They don't need you to step in. And the other thing that I think women who are single moms get knocked on is that they want more babies. They're just women who try to get pregnant so they can have more babies. So they're going to tell you that they're on birth control when they're not, hoping to get pregnant, I guess presumably either so they have another baby or that they can make you become the dad, whether you like it or not. But I would be very, very careful about throwing a blanket over all single moms vis-a-vis these warnings you've been given by other pickup artists or whoever. What I am going to go back to is what I originally started out with, and I want your comment on this. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times these women who have lost their idealism kind of had their halos knocked off their head a little bit in terms of this Disney princess fantasy. It's happened or it hasn't happened for them, and now it's been lost, divorce, single motherhood, whatever it is that's knocked them off of that dream. I think the guy who can come along, polish off that halo and put it back on their head a little bit is going to be able to really have an astounding impact on that woman's life and really be able to call the shots in a relationship. Now, I want to qualify that because I think a lot of guys who have been fed a steady diet of pickup artists are thinking, what, you're going to put her back on a pedestal and put a halo on her head? No. I'm not talking about worshiping a woman. I'm not talking about anything associated with you giving up your power. I'm talking about you using your power of leadership as a man to help that woman feel empowered as a beautiful, sexy, worthy woman again. I'm talking about taking your hand and reaching it down to a woman who isn't feeling as good about herself or maybe hasn't lived that dream and bring her back up to your level again. I'm sure there are women listening to this going, oh, please, like we need that. Well, guess what? There's men out there who can really, really have their self-esteem improved by a woman who thinks that they're just great.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the strongest aphrodisiacs there is.
Absolutely. One of the biggest ironies in the pickup world is we're told not to seek approval, not to be needy when it comes to women. But what is it that men want? Men want a woman who's going to be his greatest cheerleader. We want her to be hot. We want her to be beautiful. And we want her to go to our softball games and yell and scream and clap her hands and hug us when we hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
We want her to think we're great. We want her to think we're the best at doing whatever job it is that we do. Listen, if you're a man and you're recently divorced, I sat down with a guy who's feeling this very thing just yesterday. We were sitting at a Mexican restaurant here in San Antonio, and we were talking about what he had going on. He was recently divorced, and he'd been feeling a little beaten up. Well, I'll tell you what, brother, I can understand exactly what that feels like, because it wasn't that many years ago I was sitting in a house that was five times too large for me alone, watching porn and jacking off, thinking I was never going to get a woman who was beautiful to like me again, let alone ever see her naked or have a happy relationship. I understand how getting that halo knocked off your head, at least temporarily, really, really can absolutely flabbergast you, whether you're a man or a woman. You come along, you provide that leadership for a woman, you help her feel beautiful and sexy again. You don't necessarily have to marry her, but boy, is she going to appreciate you. Boy, are all the walls, all the fences going to fall down, and you're going to have someone real with you.
Oh, yeah. It's and what you say right there is so spot on, because when women are younger, they don't need, and especially if you're talking about attractive women, and I think, you know, that's what we are talking about. Attractive women, they don't need a lot of one-on-one validation when they're younger, usually because the whole world is validating them. They're young and they're hot. And then after they've decided to settle down for a little while, maybe they have a kid or they get married and, you know, 5-10 years goes by and now they're not so young and so hot. Every guy isn't looking at them like they used to, even if she's a hot cougar or hot MILF. She's getting attention, but she's not getting it like she was. And she's had enough jading going on in her life that just being that guy, yeah, who recognizes her and says, look, you're still something special. You're cool. You're sexy. You're this, you're that. I mean, it can just do wonders where that stuff wouldn't have worked 10 years ago with her. So it's really understanding who you're dealing with. If she is toting around a lot of emotional baggage, or if she's just, you know, had her self-esteem beaten down a little bit, can be such an aphrodisiac for her, but it can be an aphrodisiac as far as relationship, building the relationship with her goes, or even just building a sexual relationship. But yeah, it's understanding that women have come from their high on the outside beauty, the superficial beauty, the superficial value, and it's lower. So you don't want to treat them like, you know, like the PUA community uses the word neg for, you know, dropping a negative comment on a girl to kind of take her off her own high horse. A lot of girls aren't on their own high horse when they get to be a little bit older, and they realize that that was all fake anyway. So
brilliant point.
Yeah, negs don't work on older women like they do on younger women for a reason.
Well, I'll tell you another thing that's coming to mind while you're talking about all this is you can take this power you have as a man over a single mom or an older woman, and you can use it for either good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're just a man who's out to get laid, I'm going to just throw it on the table for you. These women are going to be easier to have sex with almost across the board.
Right.
But if that's your whole goal, then you're misplaced, because you're not interested in a single mom because she's a single mom. You're not interested in an older woman because she's more mature. You're not looking at the things these women have to offer. And I'll tell you something. Having that youthful idealism about how beautiful they are, how sexually attractive they are, what their expectations are as far as men go, it can be very endearing, or it can be a real pain in the rear.
Yep.
And if you want a woman who's kind of had her heart broken a little bit and has kind of gotten past that, she's not going to be any less beautiful, but she may have a stronger character. She may have been through a little bit more and she can kind of see the world through more realistic eyes. If not more jaded eyes, more realistic eyes. There's a huge difference. Yeah, and those women are incredibly attractive. But if you're a guy who's just trying to game those women to get the easy sex, shame on you. Decide for yourself, I don't really want that kind of woman in my life. It's not what I'm about. So I'm not going to take advantage of the situation just to be that manipulative guy we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I don't really think you should ever take advantage. With older women, there's so much more damage you can do. Older women are absolutely 100% easier to get in bed than younger women in 90% of the cases I found. However, you know, especially if they have kids, the nice part about them oftentimes is they don't do the bullshit anymore. They're tired of that. So you don't have to do the bullshit, which is what we've been talking about, and being honest. And it goes back to the honesty thing. You know, be honest with them. Let them know if, you know, you really just kind of want to have a wild, fun relationship. They'll totally respect that. And if not, you know, let them know that too. But you definitely have to handle, you know, women who are in the cougar MILF category, which I think we still may need to define if there's an age range or an attitude range there.
Well, like I said, you know, you have single moms and you have cougars. I think anyone over 35 can be classified as a cougar, sort of, especially if you're 10 years younger than they are.
Yeah, I mean, a cougar is kind of the girl who's going out on the prowl. You know, she's on the prowl looking for
the younger guys.
For the younger guys. And a lot of times she's wearing the same clothes that she did 10 years ago, and she's, you know, rocking the same fashion.
Right. Well, she's going after the younger guys specifically because she wants a guy with staying power in bed, and she wants to teach him a few sexual tricks.
Yeah.
I want to clarify one thing. First of all, Emily was a single mom with a young son when I met her, and that's exactly what I wanted. I couldn't have wished for anything better than to have a single mom with one kid, because I was a single dad with one kid. And she had a son and I had a daughter, and it almost became kind of like this little 33 1/3% of the Brady Bunch we put together, you know. Mm. And it was very nice. It was perfect. And I had dated some women who didn't have kids, and I found them hard to relate to. So, yes, if you're a single dad, there is no shame in wanting a single mom. In fact, I think it's perfectly natural to want a single mom. The one thing that I think we should close with, and I don't know how much you're going to be able to relate to this or not, Brad, but I want your input on it anyway, is when you're dating a single mom, there's basically two kinds of single moms. Single moms who want to introduce you to their kids, and single moms who don't want you to meet their kids just yet. And one of the things that I think is important to remember is, first of all, if you're going to be around kids, you need to know how to relate to kids pretty much as well as you know how to relate to women. And second of all, you're going to have to know how to respect that mama's wishes with respect to her children, how you're going to meet them or not meet them, how long that's going to take, and especially how much she prioritizes those children over you in the context of relationship. And I hope she does, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
If you meet a woman who says, look, I can't hang out with you tonight because I've got to be around my kids because I haven't seen them all week, or I've got to function with my kids, this is going to have to wait. Don't take that as rejection. Take that as a woman talking to you who's got a strong sense of character. But again, I mean, there's a mouthful there, but I think we just covered the part about how to deal with women who are moms and helping them prioritize their time with their kids. Please don't put guilt on them for that. That's the bottom line there. You know, respect a woman's right to put her kids before you and see that as a plus. Enough said. But Brad, like I said, I want your opinion on the whole idea of women who want you to meet their kids versus not, and what that may say about them, and also relating to children. How do you do that as a guy who's never had kids?
Well, for one, and you know, I've dealt with this. I've dealt with, you know, both sides of it, because I have dated girls, you know, for several months where things were pretty cool who did have kids. And I actually really – I always prefer the girl who does not want me to meet her kid at first, but not for the reason – like the selfish, immature reason that a lot of guys think. But one, if she holds back on me meeting her kid, that shows that she's being a very responsible mom in my book, because she realizes that, you know, relationships take time to build, and, you know, you don't want to yo-yo your kid's emotions around, and you don't want to, you know, have the kid get attached to somebody who may be gone. And at the same time, if, you know, I think we brought up that quote from Jerry Maguire earlier, but the same thing happened with Jerry Maguire. He got closer to the kid than he did to the woman. And then she didn't know if he was in it for her or he was in it for him. And I've got friends of mine who've gone through this where they actually stayed with the girl because they really liked the kid. And they liked that they were getting intoxicated by that feeling of almost an instant family. But at the same time, his and her relationship weren't growing. So I respect a woman who's got the foresight enough to say, I'm not going to introduce you to my children until I know that we're either moving towards something. Otherwise, you know, let's just get together, go on dates, screw like monkeys, and have fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you said it all. There's nothing more that needs to be added to that. Incidentally, most moms I've ever met, and the subject of the movie Jerry Maguire came up, most of them can't stand that movie. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. Did you get any rationale for exactly why that is?
Oh, because they just can't stand how she puts up with him and what he does.
Yeah.
And the poor little kid. They just don't like the feeling they get watching that movie. And they don't like how it resolves either.
That's funny.
I'm interested also in how you would talk to a guy who's never had kids before about relating to kids. Because I remember before I had my daughter in 1999, I mean, I was a 33-year-old guy at that point, and I had no idea how to handle the situation when someone stuck a 2-year-old in front of me. I didn't know how to talk to a 2-year-old. But when I had that child, all of a sudden, I very quickly became this guy who was more comfortable around children. So let's say you aren't a dad, and let's say you're meeting a woman's kids for the first time. What's important to remember? Obviously, kids come in different ages, right?
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, if they're children, 3, 4, 5, you know, years old like that, I think you just can, you know, play around with them. You don't give them too much attention as far as, you know, you don't start to act like, you know, they're your kid or your nephew or niece. I would personally play off just a little bit. I'd be really nice. Let her see I'm good. But the other thing is I don't want her to think that I am like the best potential father figure in the world if that's not what I want her to think. Because if I still haven't made up my mind about her, now it's totally different. If I think this girl hung the moon and I want to take it to the next level, I'm going to show her that I'm perfect around her kids. If not, I'm going to show her I'm cool and I'm fun, but I'm not going to be overdoing it. Yeah. With older kids, I've got to say this. I don't have any experience dating a girl whose kids were of, you know, let's say like teenagers, for instance. The oldest was a girl who was a few years older than me, and her child was like 10 or 11, but I never met her. You know, if they are younger kids, it depends on what I want. If I'm trying to put my best foot forward, I'm going to show her that, hey, I'm great with kids and that I would make somebody she'd want to have in her life around her child. And if I don't know where I want it to go, I'm going to be cool. I'm going to, you know, I'll talk to the kid, play with him or her, give it, you know, attention, but it's not going to be all about the kid. It's not going to be, you know, to where she just like, wow, look at that.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about makes perfectly good sense. I would add to that that the secret to relating to younger children, obviously, if they're really small, like a baby, there's not a whole lot of relating to do. But if the kid is like between 2 and 5, such that they can communicate with you and you with them, the secret is not to use that talk to children, Mr. Rogers voice. Feel free to talk in your own voice, but I would say be a little bit more playful with children.
Right.
Goofy jokes. You know, you talked about being cool, and I think you mean cool in the sense of not freaking out. But you're not going to impress a 2-year-old with how incredibly suave you are.
No, exactly.
Not in that sense of cool mode. It's more don't freak out mode is what I think you meant by cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you were talking in your normal voice, I talk to my 2-year-old son exactly the way I'm talking into this microphone right now. But I talk to him about football and basketball, and I high-five him. And I make jokes with them and I make animal noises with them. And that's all cool. And by the way, most moms are perfectly cool with you being a little bit more of a goofball. I mean,
oh, yeah.
They've had kids in their lives. They understand that dads know how to be a goofball. So don't think like you've got to be this perfectly suave James Bond guy for a single mom around her kids, because she's going to appreciate that goofy dad-like side of you if it's really in there. Obviously, you don't want to invent it. Feel free to let it come out. And I think the other thing is, you know, this is whether they have older kids or younger kids, all right? Don't lay on the public display of affection with mom. Don't even go there when
you're
the first time. Don't even hold her hand. Let the older kids especially, and you know what? I'll tell you what, a lot of times we don't give 2 or 3-year-olds enough credit for knowing exactly what's going on. And I mean exactly what's going on. Don't give that kid anything to fret about. Don't give the 13 or 14-year-old kid anything to feel jealous of. You may relate to the 13 or 14-year-old kid more naturally. It may be a little bit more stilted of a conversation because they know what's going on. You just give those kids the opportunity to feel what they're going to feel, and don't take anything that comes at you personally.
Yeah, can I inject some comedy relief of a story that you kind of reminded me of into this? Okay, so I hadn't thought about this in a while. And this was, you know, 7 or 8 years ago. And I met this girl online, match.com or something like that, I think. I don't remember. And she was, you know, she was smoking hot. And she did have a kid. And her kid was about, oh, I want to say 4 years old. I may be off by 1 or 2 years, but I want to say she was maybe about four. And I went out with this girl, and I ended up going home with her on the second – I think it was the second date we had. We went to her place. She put her daughter upstairs in bed, and we were hanging out, drinking wine, doing all this other stuff. And then, you know, we went into the bedroom, you know, when we went to bed to have our fun. And we did. So, you know, we wake up the next day, and I hear her rustling around, and, you know, I guess she had kind of gotten up. Got back to bed, and I was, you know, we were both kind of hungover. And I look over to my left, and her daughter is now in the bed with us. Like, it was, her daughter was on the far side, and then it was the girl, and then it was me. Now, Scott, I'm stark naked.
That's uncool.
That's insanely uncool. So,
that's bad judgment on my
side. No, insane. Like, and I'm sitting here thinking, what in the world? Like, I didn't know if she had just come down and got in bed with her mom or whatever. But I laid there thinking, okay, well, I can't move. Like, I can't get up. I'm just going to lay here until, like, she probably just takes her back up and say, okay, get out of here. Well, I was hungover. It was still early. It was like 6, 7 in the morning. I was probably still drunk. I think I fell back asleep. And when I woke up, I looked over, and the girl, the little girl, was still in the bed, but the mom wasn't. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what in the world is going on? Well, luckily, by this time, like, I had actually thrown on my boxers or whatever. But I looked over there, and she was far on the other side. I smelled something cooking in the kitchen. So I kind of sleeked out of bed. But I went into the kitchen, and I saw the mom, and I was like, what the hell are you doing? You left your daughter in bed with me. Like, strange dude. And she didn't think anything was wrong with that. I never saw her again. Let's just say that.
Obviously.
Before, I don't know if I should be talking about this, but I didn't do anything wrong. It was just,
of course,
the exact opposite of a girl who puts her kids first and is smart.
Well, but, yeah, I mean, the fault there is with the mom. I mean, you're an innocent bystander in that situation. You told her how you felt about it, and I agree 1,000%. That was completely inappropriate.
I've never felt more uncomfortable in my entire – and I've been in some uncomfortable positions. That was like weird, 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 weird.
That's a woman who also completely did not understand the plight of man vis-a-vis being accused of sexual crimes or whatever. That was completely insensitive to you.
I was looking around for cameras. Like, am I on candid camera?
That's pressing the issue. Obviously, we as guys shouldn't fear being dragged off by the sexual harassment police, but that's her pushing the issue. Man, and here I was expecting you to kind of give me the Cindy Lou Who story, right? Where she kind of wanders in. That's completely different. That's not getting walked in on. That's having...
This is creepy.
Planted. It is creepy. That's absolutely creepy. Well, you know what? I think it brings up a good point, because sometimes when single moms have been a little jaded and had their halo knocked down like that, sometimes they kind of let themselves get a little lackadaisical about other things too. And I think you've given a great example. But I tell you what, we're out of time. I mean, we're so out of time. We've gone way over. Let me go ahead and give these guys the number to call, and then we're going to sign off.
Cool.
If you want to leave a voicemail like Lawrence from Santa Monica did, then you want to call this number, +1 if you're outside the United States, 210-362-4400. Once again, that's 210-362-4400. No one's going to answer that phone. All you're going to do is you're going to leave your voicemail, and you're going to leave your email behind it so we can send you a great prize if you're chosen to have your voicemail addressed on the show by a killer dating expert like one Brad Jackson, for example. And you're also going to make your message relevant to as many guys as you possibly can make it relevant to, so it has more likely of a chance to be played on the show. And also, man, keep it concise. You don't have to be quite as concise as Lawrence, but, you know, definitely keep your point. Also, guys, if you're not on the newsletter, as always, go to www.deservewhatyouwant.com. And get you that thing. I've got a free special report for you that I think you're going to like. It's something that covers a topic you've never heard of before, and I think you're going to like it. www.deservewhatyouwant.com. I have two quick announcements for you. First of all, if you're using Twitter and you're remotely close to the New York tri-state area, I am going to be speaking at the 140 Characters Conference, which is the big Twitter conference, and that's going to be held in late April. You can find out more about that if you visit deservewhatyouwant.com. Hope to see you there. I'm also going to be speaking at the Real Man Conference, which is going to be held in Aachen, Germany, on the 10th and 11th of April. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast after those dates have taken place, so sorry, but if you're catching this right as it's released, then get you some. And if you're in Europe, I would love to be able to meet you personally at that conference. I think it's going to be a great one. The price is right, and you can learn about that at deservewhatyouwant.com also. Brad Jackson, it's always a pleasure, and I want to remind guys one more time, if you want to get your hands on Brad's killer mastery course on really how to have these kind of superpowers with women, I would highly recommend it. And you know by now that I don't highly recommend anything that's cheesy or based purely on tactics or tricks or anything like that. And that's at www.thechickwhisperer.com/Jackson. And Bradley Jackson, thank you so much for being here today.
Mr. Jackson, if you're nasty.
Right on, buddy. All right. I will be talking to you again soon, as we do almost every day. And if you're listening to this show, I will be talking at you again real soon on the next episode of the Chick Whisper Podcast, the world famous Chick Whisper Podcast, that is. This is Scott McKay from XMY Communications. Until then, be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer Podcast is copyright 2009 by XMY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisper.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for The Chick Whisperer Podcast.